As I was preparing this message, I was finding it very difficult to start. And I wasn't even sure that I would have material for the entire message. I really envy guys like Sam Solon, who are able to take a rather simple principle and really able to develop it fully. He really tends to make it look pretty easy. So today's message is, I feel, is very important for all of us to hear, even if I'm not able to completely, fully fill the time. So let's start first in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We invite your Holy Spirit into this place. Lord, I just pray that the words that I speak would be words of blessing and encouragement, but more important, that the words that I speak would be translated by the Holy Spirit before it gets to the listener's ears, so that it would be exactly what they need to hear at this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, I want to discuss the topic of renewal. And it's a message that will have practical application that we're going to see here in a little bit. But for now, I just want to go into the several different aspects of renewal. Renewal is something that we see constantly in the world. We see it in businesses every day. If companies aren't able to constantly reinvent themselves, they die on the vine. Let's take a look at Apple, for example. Able to continually update, innovate, and adapt to a changing world. And as a result, Apple is number 56 in the Fortune 500 companies. On the other hand, let's look at Blockbuster Video. By all appearances, they've kept doing the same things that made them a Fortune 500 company. By all appearances, apparently they didn't update or renew their business model. And the result of that, they've totally gotten whipped in the video rental market by companies like Netflix. Last month, Blockbuster declared Chapter 11 bankruptcy. Renewal isn't important only for businesses. Renewal, innovation is important in all areas of life. Let's take a look at government. If it doesn't constantly reinvent itself to remove from a fixed paradigm of spend, then eventually they spend themselves out. Does that sound familiar at all? Or even churches. Even churches need to renew and to grow, not necessarily, not just spiritually. But none of that is where I'm going today. Today, I'm going to a place of personal renewal and growth. Have you ever heard a middle-aged or an older person say something like, "Well, that's just the way I've always been, and I'm too old to change now"? I really cringe when I hear something like that. It really bothers me in my spirit when I hear something like that. I feel bad for them. I feel bad for them because they've basically given up. They've given up in their quest for personal growth. They've given up in their quest of the exploration of who they are. And if they're believers, they've given up their quest to achieve their fully realized place in the kingdom of God. And that to me is sad. Now, I don't know about you, but I personally have to fight against this temptation to remain static. My heart is to continually grow, to seek new ways, to renew myself, to grow closer to the Lord, to find more intimate moments with the Lord. As I was doing some research on this topic, I learned that, which I had never considered before, I learned that renewal and starting over is actually a pretty significant theme in Judeo-Christian history. So I want to take a little bit of time and just go through some examples of renewal that we can glean from scriptures. And one of my favorites is actually something that Bethany alluded to today. It's in the book of Genesis, and it's the story of Jacob. Jacob, she already talked about all this. No, it's great. It's good. Excuse me. Jacob had stolen a birthright, and he was forced to flee to a foreign land, a land in which God was not honored. It was in this land that Jacob prospered and his family grew. In chapter 34 of Genesis, there's a story that details the rape of Jacob's daughter Dinah by a godless man, and how Dinah's brothers, Jacob's sons, Simeon and Levi, decided to take matters into their own hands to seek revenge. Now, the rapist, Shechem, wanted Dinah to be his wife. Even after the rape, wanted Dinah to be his wife. And in fact, Shechem's tribe, say, really wanted to kind of marry into a lot of the Jacob's family through the women. So Simeon and Levi, they lied to Shechem and to the men of his tribe, saying, "Yeah, you can have Dinah and you can marry into our tribe, but you guys first have to get circumcised because it's abomination to us if you don't." So I'm thinking that the women in Jacob's family must have been real cuties, because they all agreed to get circumcised. And when they were still trying to recover, Simeon and Levi go ripping through the tribe and kill them all. All the males. All right, so how many of you know this is literally hitting below the belt? Okay. This is just cold. Now, Jacob is not happy because he knows that paybacks are coming. Because he knows that there are other men in Canaan who would seek revenge. And so he realizes that he has to flee. So, picking up in chapter 35 of Genesis, God gives him instructions. "Then God said to Jacob, 'Go up to Bethel and settle there, and build an altar there to God who appeared to you, when you were fleeing from your brother Esau.'" And here's the important part. "So Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, 'Get rid of the foreign gods you have with you, and purify yourselves and change your clothes. Then come, let us go up to Bethel, where I will build an altar to God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and who has been with me wherever I go.' So they gave Jacob all foreign gods they had, and the rings in their ears, and Jacob buried them under the oak at Shechem. Then they set out, and the terror of God fell upon the towns all around them, so that no one pursued them." You see, this type of renewal was one of purging all the ungodly stuff from their lives. They were in an ungodly land, and by golly, they picked up some ungodly habits. This is classic renewal in the sense that they dropped their idols, they buried them in the ground, and they turned back to God. They turned back to the God that Jacob had known. Next, let's consider the case of Josiah in 2 Kings, and that's in chapters 22 and 23. Josiah the boy king, which it always seems like when we say Josiah, we always say the boy king after him. I don't know why. I mean, he was on the throne for 31 years. I mean, so he wasn't always a boy. So Josiah had some pretty dismal examples of what it was to be a king from his father and from his grandfather. But his heart was right, and he wanted to do right by the Lord. So when he was 26 years old, pretty much, you know, around the middle of his reign, he ordered that the temple of the Lord be rebuilt. The temple had fallen into disrepair due to the previous kings, and so he wanted it rebuilt. During the renovation, the workers found the Book of the Covenant. When it made its way back to Josiah and he read it, he tore his robes and immediately started giving orders. He immediately went into a period of renewal. He immediately renewed his covenant with the Lord. His people did likewise. And Josiah just started cleaning house. Chapter 23 details this pretty completely. Josiah was like Sherman's march to the sea. He removed and he burned all idols and anything that represented false gods. He removed pagan priests. He removed, defiled, and buried any altars or any high places that were dedicated to false gods. He got rid of mediums and spiritists. And then he went on and he reinstituted the practice of the Passover. You see this? How many of you can see this is renewal? Now, just like Josiah, I think a good spiritual house cleaning is good for us every once in a while, don't you? About once a year or so in our house, you know, we just start clearing stuff out. You know, start organizing stuff, start getting rid of stuff. But more generally, when was the last time that we took spiritual stock of where we are? Are there idols in our lives that we need to get rid of? Do we need to take stock of our intimacy, of our walk with the Lord? So my thesis today is that yes, spiritual growth is good, and it's even mandatory for our continued growth with the Lord. But perhaps, you know, it's just something we just don't get to because we're consumed by our busy all-American lifestyle. Let's move on to Christ. Consider Christ within the context of renewal. Now, Christ going and spending 40 days in the desert is detailed in three of the four Gospels. Christ, while not in need of a renewal of repentance, did go into the desert for a time with his Father and with the Holy Spirit. Really, if you think about it, only the last part of his 40 days are addressed in Scripture, except to say that prior to that he had been fasting. So what was he doing for nearly 6 weeks in the desert? Well, we could have a long discussion just on the issue of fasting. But remember the purpose of fasting. First of all, fasting is typically done in conjunction with what? Prayer, exactly. The purpose of which is to set our focus back onto God so that we can shed all the things of this world, everything, even something as basic as food, so that we can focus on one thing, focus only on God. So, in the case of Jesus, I think that this was just a time of preparation and a focus on the things that he would be called to do over the next few years. Finally, let's consider Paul. After Paul's conversion is well documented in Acts, he briefly goes to Damascus and then he goes to Arabia for a period of 3 years. Okay, that 3 years is mentioned in Galatians 1. So what did he do for those 3 years? I mean, that's a long time. What did he do for those 3 years? Scripture doesn't explicitly say what happened during those 3 years. However, there are, as you can imagine, plenty of theories. I think that we're probably pretty safe in saying that Paul's time away would be a renewal at the very least, and probably more like a complete reconstruction. Let's remember both Paul's history up to that point and the future that God had planned for him, which of course we know now. From a very young age, Paul was trained in a Pharisaic rabbinical school. He went on to become a Pharisee. He went on to zealously persecute the early church, even having a hand in the martyrdom of Stephen. But then he has this encounter with the Lord. But Paul still probably needed at least 3 years to get reprogrammed from his life of indoctrination and zealotry. In addition, God knew the trials and the sufferings that he would ask of Paul in the coming years. Not to mention the fact that he would also work through Paul to write a significant portion of the New Testament. As a result, Paul's 3 years away in Arabia were probably filled with personal instruction and revelation from the Holy Spirit. This was likely a real genuine time of renewal and preparation. So, let's take a look real quick. What were some of the purposes of these renewals? In the case of Jacob, he had been away from his homeland and living with the ungodly, and it was starting to rub off on his family. So his renewal was one of purging the godlessness from his home and returning to God. In the case of Josiah, he just had learned about the traditions and learned about the covenant of his ancestors. And so his renewal was one of repentance and education. Can't even say re-education because he was learning some of this stuff for the first time. In the case of Christ, I suggest that his renewal was about closer intimacy with and focus on the Father and the Holy Spirit, a solidification of resolve, a time of preparation that culminated in temptation. Finally, in the case of Paul, his renewal was about re-education, redirection, and preparation for the challenges that will befall him. So, from these examples, we can glean some purposes of renewal for our own lives. If we decided to dedicate our lives toward a period of renewal, and really, who doesn't really need a period of renewal? Then we would be wise to examine what we would hope to get from that renewal. Are we looking to recover from a time of backsliding? Are we looking for a new level of intimacy with the Lord? Are we seeking a time of preparation for the thing which we have been called to? Are we looking for a time of refreshing after a particularly trying or frustrating period in our life? The point is that I encourage you not only to assess the need for renewal in your personal lives, but also encourage you to consider the purposes behind that renewal. Ask yourself, hey, what is it that I hope to achieve by this spiritual house cleaning? Finally, as way of encouragement, I want to take a look at the results of renewal from the examples we've been looking at today. Because ultimately, it is seeing the hope of the results of our renewal that is our encouragement. You know, the struggle is never any fun. But if we can see the fruit on the other side, then it's a motivator for us. So, what were some of the results of the renewals that we've been discussing? Let's go back to Jacob. It says in Genesis 35, starting verse 9, after Jacob returned from Padan Aram, God appeared to him again and blessed him. God said to him, your name is Jacob, but you will no longer be called Jacob. Your name is Israel. So he named him Israel. Jacob became Israel. There's a country in the Mideast named Israel. Coincidence? Oh, I think not. See, because of Jacob's obedience, his commitment toward renewal, his heart to return back to the Lord, Jacob became Israel and became a nation. There's another important lesson for us in this as well. Even if we've fallen away from the God who revealed himself to us, it's never too late. We still have a place in the kingdom. Josiah, in 2 Kings 22, God was still pretty hot at some rebellious people. But to Josiah, he said this in verse 18. Tell the king of Judah, Josiah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says concerning the words you heard. Because your heart was responsive and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I have spoken against this place and its people, that they would become accursed and laid waste. And because you tore your robes and wept in my presence, I have heard you, declares the Lord. Therefore, I will gather you to your fathers, and you will be buried in peace. Your eyes will not see all the disaster I am going to bring on this place. So because of Josiah's repentance, he was promised eternal peace. Promise of eternal peace. Not bad. Okay, Jesus. He resisted temptation. It set him in a place of confidence to start the ministry that he was called to. His renewal was complete, and after his place with the Father was assured, Jesus launched into a ministry that would, only transform a world and deliver all of mankind, if they so chose. Finally, Paul. What did Paul accomplish after his 3-year renewal? Well, basically, Paul only founded the Christian church in the known world outside of Israel. And this is a legacy that still has ramifications 2,000 years later and will until the end of the world as we know it. And during this time, Paul also wrote about 1/3 of the New Testament in terms of text, more than any other author. All right, so some of you may be wondering, okay, where's he going with this discussion? My goal up to this point has been to impress upon you the importance of renewal, because it has practical application that affects Katrina and I and our own quest for personal renewal. My goal from this point forward is to help speak, to help offer a place of peace in which there may be some confusion. It's my job today to inform you that Katrina and I will be stepping down from the gathering and stepping away from Patuxent River Assembly of God for a season. I can assure you that Katrina and I did not come to this decision easily, but we feel that it is the best thing for us at this time. Now, as this begins to sink in, I want you to know that I truly see this as a necessary thing. My prayer is that this time of renewal will ultimately be for our benefit and also for Prague's. Now, I recognize that there are probably a lot of questions regarding this decision, so I'm going to try to address as many as I can in the time that we have left. The first question is probably, well, why? Why? I don't feel free to get into all the reasons, but I can tell you that Katrina and I are looking for a time of rest and refreshing. We're looking for a time of reflection and exploration. In short, we're simply looking for some time away. We're looking for a season of renewal. I can tell you what this is not about. This is not about you, the congregation. We love you. You are our family. Over the years, I've counseled with you, and you have counseled me. Over the years, I've married your children and buried your children. We've celebrated and we have mourned together, even in the same week. I was a young Christian, 6 months old, when I walked through those doors back in 1988. I am so grateful for each one of you. You tolerated me as you watched me grow. I can also tell you that this is not about the recent hiring of Svetlana as a pastor in this house. Katrina and I have already made our decision before we had learned of this hiring. Although I have had little time to visit with Svetlana and Michael, by all accounts they have sweet spirits, and they are precious siblings in the Lord. Katrina and I, we bless them and we welcome them into this house. And I know that each of you will do likewise. Okay, so I've addressed the whys. I hope I did so to your satisfaction. The next question is, well, when? When will you leave? When will you be back? Maybe part of that is, will you be back? So first, when will you go? Next week, Katrina is preaching, so that's the 31st. The week after that is the week of the 6th, 7th, weekend of the 6th, 7th. Katrina and I, we're going to be on a couples retreat that you guys blessed us with so generously last year during Pastor Appreciation. I appreciate that. So we're going to be going off to that. The week after that is the week of November 14th, and that will be our final week here, at least for a while. So the next question is, will you be back? In answering this question, I want you to hear my heart. I want you to hear that we love you. And so our heart is here with you. As such, we have no plans to depart and not return. I can't say that that won't happen because I simply don't know what the Lord has in mind for us, or what he has plans to put our hand to. However, I want to reemphasize that our heart is here with you. All right. So with that being said, the next logical question, well, then when will you be back? The answer, short answer is, I don't know. Katrina and our mindset currently is in taking about 6 to 9 months to rest, reflect, explore. During that time, and I'm sure after that time, we'll reassess the call on our lives and where we can best fulfill that call. Next question. Will you be going to church? And if so, where? Yes, we do plan to attend church. We have no plans to just do church at home. We do plan to attend churches regularly. But for right now, we have no agenda as to where. We expect that we're going to be visiting many churches in the area. As I said, part of this time away is for us to explore, to see what else is out there. So we expect to be attending several churches in the area. And in doing so, we'll be looking at where churches are spiritually, where they are doctrinally. We expect to be looking at their model for governance and the pastor's model of ministry and leadership style. All this is important to me. Remember that I grew up largely in this church, and as such, I have a limited perspective with respect to the church and pastoral models and ministry. So because I have that limited perspective, this does not serve me. And as such, it does not serve you. So in this time away, I really hope to do some exploration, amongst other things. All right, next question. Well, what will you be doing during this time away? Well, aside from a period of renewal and reconnecting with our family, I do plan to continue my studies in pastoral counseling. I'm not too far away from getting my master's degree in that discipline. I also want to let you know that I have no plans to stop with pastoral counseling, so if I can serve you in that area, I would be pleased to. I should also mention that we will not be falling off the face of the earth. You may still see us around from time to time. I want to get Joshua into Dave Ramsey's Generation Change course, which is coming up. I'm pretty sure that Christine wants to continue with her dance ministry here at the church. And so I expect that you will see us from time to time. As I conclude my last message for at least a while, I want to thank you and just let you know how much I value each one of you and what an honor it has been to serve with you. You have been a blessing to me and my family, and I truly do love you. I also don't want this message of renewal to get lost on the personal circumstances of Katrine and I. I encourage you to consider your own need for renewal and what purpose you would like that to accomplish. Finally, I ask for your prayers. Katrine and I step out into a period of the unknown. The strongest desire of our heart is to be in the will of the Lord, to walk into that thing that He has called us to. And so we really ask for your prayers for that. And finally, for you here at the gathering, I ask for your discretion as you encounter the folks from the legacy service as they're coming in and you're going out. I would just ask that you would permit me the opportunity to break this news to them myself. Okay. Pastor?
I don't have any expectation that those of you who don't carry the weight of ministry and the full weight of life can fully appreciate what Mike has just communicated to us. I would say that as a man and a minister, he's making a very important and significant choice for survival. I have, on two separate occasions, walked to the edge of insanity and peered over because I didn't have the wisdom that Mike is demonstrating, didn't have anybody who would encourage me to take a break. Because when you do all that life requires of you and then all that other lives require of you, it can come to the place where it begins to suck the marrow out of your bones. So Mike's admonition to us today about personal renewal simply needs to be heard as a pattern of life that you institute where there are times when you get away for your own survival. And that's much more difficult when you're living the bivocational life that he and Katrina are engaged in. So I fully support his decision and bless them in the journey of exploration, reflection, and renewal. I think he's very carefully presented to us a context that we need to hear personally. The demands of life seem to be intensifying for us. The demands of congregational life are all the more intense because you not only carry your stuff, you carry everybody else's stuff. And occasionally, you need a breather. Now, let me make this admonition. I've been in this business long enough to know that we don't really know whether or not our life has effect. We take in faith the fact that pouring our life out for others actually has some benefit. But, you know, maybe someday Jesus will show us that. But circumstantially, October is called Pastor Appreciation Month. And I would like for those of you who have been influenced by these two lives to go out of your way to say so. Tell the story, write the card, whatever it is you're going to do. Because this is a time when affirmation would be really, really appreciated. Because when the fog increases, it's nice to hear the signs that it's been worthwhile. A week from today, we will have a formal laying on of hands as Katrina has her opportunity to speak from her point of view. And bless and release and send and encourage and maintain the relational connections, you know. Like you said, they're not dropping off the face of the earth. Some of us are actually fond of them. We actually enjoy their company. And so we will continue to be that. You need to hear it in its broader context. I've watched the evolutions over the years and how the Lord requires of different ones of us a season where real transformation can occur. I prefer it in small doses, but sometimes it comes 10 months at a time. So to having said that, let me encourage you to let this morning's event downstairs be an occasion for hugging necks and shaking hands and speaking those things that your heart would say had you paused to think, I should have said that. So would you stand with us, please? Father, we've learned and are learning that walking with Jesus is the most exciting and trepidatious thing we'll ever do in life. You give grace, and in return, you place before us opportunities to grow, to recover, to renew, and to expend. This household, Lord, is blessed by the grace that attends this man, this woman, and the affections, Lord, that our hearts respond to for each of their family members. As we look at this opportunity, Lord, for you to do a deeper work and an unfolding and a redirection if necessary, we bless the fact that all of us are called to obey the leadings of the Lord. And we thank you that the Holy Spirit attends our way every single day. I ask you, Father, to give us a season of genuine heart-to-heart communion and allow this change in the wind of God to be as refreshing to the Wagner household as we anticipate it will be to all the rest of the households who have been served by their influence and changed by the grace that attends them. We speak blessing today. We offer our words of encouragement. We look to speak more blessing and more encouragement as you show us the next step forward together. So may grace and mercy and peace attend each of our households, each of our lives, and all of our dealings. That the grace of God that attends us, Lord, would be put more fully on display as you peel away the layers of our life to show yourself more fully through our lives to the glory of God our Father. Amen.